better witness each and every day as we live. I pray for strength, guidance, and wisdom, your wisdom and direction each and every day as we attempt to witness to an unsaved, a chaotic world out there. We thank you for each and every one that came, a family member that came out tonight. I thank you for traveling mercies that they had as they came. I pray that you use me as a vessel this evening to speak your truth, minus my opinions and everything else. But I pray that your truth is gotten across to someone who may need it. And I thank you again for each and every life here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As far as announcements go, we have that everything's pretty much the same. The men's Bible studies still the same. Thursdays at 6:30 in Reynoldsville. Dates to remember: March 10th. I think that's what's that next Sunday, Saturday, Sunday. Turn the clock Sunday. Turn the clocks ahead. Ahead, not behind. The family game night is canceled as far as March 30th. I guess it will be to, I guess, a later date, announced at a later date. Easter morning breakfast at 9 a.m. That's right here at the church, March 31st at 9 a.m. There's a sign-up sheet in the bulletin board. Linda had brought up a valid question. I don't know if they're going to have a sunrise service, or is the service going to be after the breakfast? Does anybody know? No? Okay. I don't know. So that'll be to be announced, I guess, at a later date too. But just keep that in mind. It could be before or after, depending on whether or not we have a sunrise service or not. OCC this month will be collecting items, hygiene items, toothbrush, stick deodorant. Items can be placed in the box located in the foyer, if you would. The missionaries of the month, Bart and Emily Allen, I keep them in prayer. I keep them in each and every day, as well as Ben DeLarm and the rest. We've seen a video this morning from a strictly Muslim community, country, and like I said, they are suffering more so than what we experience of freedom. We can worship Christ over here in this country. To this day, we're still allowed to this point in time. It may change even for us here in this country, but nonetheless, whether it be missionaries across the sea, over the pond, here in our backyards, in our communities, outside these doors, outside these walls, there are many missionaries in all different forms, and local and not so not local. Keep them in prayer, because they're experiencing exceptionally difficult times, considering the fact of the country, the third world countries that they're preaching in, they could possibly go to prison for preaching the truth. And just keep them in prayer for safety and wisdom and direction each and every day of their lives, if they would. The TBC improvement project is going to be back parking lot area, because it needs repairs, and the remaining parking lot needs sealed and lines painted. Obviously, the project is all the information there, so we're looking to have this work done when weather permits. It says it's going right now. It seems like it's going to be permitting here pretty soon, because tomorrow is supposed to be in the 70s, I heard. That woodchuck had to get it right sooner or later. But anyhow, but yes, keep pastor and wife in prayer as far as traveling mercies, if you would. I don't know any other announcements, pressing announcements. If you can think of anything, let me know. Real quick, if there's any announcements that need brought up. Yeah, if not, okay, we're going to get into tonight's lesson. I'm going to be looking at three different passages tonight. We're talking about spiritual farmers are needed tonight, if you would. We're going to start off with Matthew chapter 13. We're going to go to start off with the parable of the sower, if you would. Please turn with me there. But all of us, at some point in our lives, we stop growing taller, where we reach our maximum height, and it's done over with. Now, our waistlines, maybe that's a different story. I'm going to leave that one alone, maybe. But also, I mean, technically, I mean, from the time we're born, we start to die anyhow. So cells continue to, they regenerate and they die. But for tonight's sake, it's tonight's discussion, though, we're just going to stop. We're going to talk about how our bodies, each way, every body is different in and of itself. They stop growing at a certain point in our lives. Now, not so with trees. New studies have found that trees never stop growing in their lifetime. In fact, as they age, they're found that their growth accelerates. Now, a lot of us, I don't know if we've all did our share, I think are done our share of cutting down trees, clearing land and everything else, how that talks about how we can follow the rings of a tree from the heartwood out and then to the whole way to the end to see how many years it's been alive, how many years it's been around. And I think the sequoia, the giant sequoias and the redwoods out west that they actually use for architectural structures that they run roadways through. And I'm wondering how many years you actually think about how many lifetimes, the history, if those trees could talk, what kind of a history lesson that would be, as big as they are, as long as they've been around, the centuries that they've seen from the heartwood out. It's amazing. But tonight, we're going to take a look at three different readings. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9. It's the parable of the sower. Most of us are familiar with that parable. And we're going to skip over to the parable of the mustard seed as well as we move along. But we're going to take a look at these together, and then we're going to move on to 2 Peter, verse 1 through 9, and then we'll take a look at examples of our spiritual rings through 2 Peter 1 through for chapter 1. Verses 1 through 9, and then we're going to end with a final look at Psalms 92, verses 12 through 15, and the results of a mature spiritual forest. So if you join me in Matthew 13, we're going to take a look at the sower and the mustard seed. We're going to start off, I think, we're going to start off with 3 here. It says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I think we're all pretty much, everyone here, we know the part of the parable of sower. And the explanations as we walk down through it. But I like to say, I like to take a look, different parts of it. As some, it talks about some seeds fell by the wayside and the fowls came and devoured them up. I mean, we understand those are shallow ground. Anybody that's planted grass or anybody that's planted a garden or anything else knows that we have issues with birds. And if you don't shoot them, I mean, they're that's aside from that, they're gonna eat a lot of the seeds. They're gonna fill their stomachs with a lot of the seeds that they have. But some fell in stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. If you look at the pine trees have they have a shallow root system. Willows have a shallow root system too, but they have a tendency to seek water more quickly and more strongly than the pines do. If you look at pines down through the, if you have them in the backyard or anybody's driving by the wayside, when we have a decent rain for a day, 2 days, and all of a sudden we get some wind, and all of a sudden those pine trees start uprooting themselves. You see the roots and everything come out of the complete out of the ground. But we're going to move over to verse 31 and 32, if you would, in Matthew, same chapter. This is the parable of the mustard seed. It said, another parable put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air cometh lodgeth in the branches thereof. If you ever looked at the mustard seed, a lot of us have seen mustard seeds. They're extremely small. As with all trees, so I mean, whether it be cherry, black walnut, pine, oak, white oak, red oak, whatever it may be, they all start off with small seeds, but they eventually grow into massive monsters, like I said, that have rings as it goes from the heartwood out. And if we look at the heartwood itself, in our spiritual lives, if we want to compare, like I said, we were talking about spiritual farmers are needed. Christ is our heartwood. Christ is the heartwood of our tree, our spiritual trees that we have in our life. And each ring, we're going to look here in a second, in 2 Peter, but each ring is made, is established, as the years go by, as time goes by, whether it be whatever the chaotic times we're dealing with in today's day and age, or not. But also remember, if you will, when forest fires, you ever see the case when forest fires happen, when they have forest fire, wildfires, they burn through an area. It burns everything, grass, brush, shrubs, bushes, raspberry bushes, the trees, and everything else. It blackens the earth. It's called scorched earth theory. I mean, that's what happens whenever the wildfires come. But do you see what happens whenever things grow back? The grass is greener. The trees seem to be taller. They seem to be stronger. The bushes, everything else, the shrubs, everything comes back more vibrant, more fruit-bearing, whether it be for fruit-bearing trees. Sometimes they actually can have a controlled burns. I know some fire departments actually have controlled burns to do the same thing, to do exactly that to some land, so it comes back stronger, comes back better, comes back more vibrant, so the fruit trees, the shrubs, everything else bears more fruit when it comes back. Our lives are sort of like that, and if you look at our lives, whether it be a new Christian that starts off as a sapling, whether or not our spiritual trees are 2, 3, 4 feet tall, or if we've been a Christian most of our lives. Sometimes Christ has to send the wildfire because of choices we make. I'll use myself as an example in this process. I was saved for quite a number of years. And because of the poor decision I made, I have to put up with the consequences that came along. When he decided to scorch the earth, my earth, when that sapling, when that tree decided to get scorched. And to this point in time, when it comes back, like I said, the tree comes back stronger, comes back with more purpose. The grass comes back greener. I wouldn't be here if it wouldn't be for God's mercy and grace and praying parents. And the tree's coming back a little bit stronger than it was before. And that's because of God's grace and God's mercy in my life. And I thank him for that exact purpose, that fire he sent, that scorched earth policy that he sent whenever I, because of a choice, a decision I made, but nonetheless, I still had to suffer the consequences of scorched earth. And the tree was burnt to ashes. And it was continued. It started to grow again years after the fact. And I think it's starting to come back a little bit more, I guess I would say, mature or stronger. Just like all of ours, if we have a scorched earth, whether it be a wildfire that comes through there, it's going to come back stronger whenever Satan decides he wants to throw those curveballs at us. Or life in general decides it wants to throw a curveball at us, for whether it's a call from a doctor, whether it's a call from a friend, whether it's the old proverbial knife in the back from a friend or whoever else it may be down through, like the list goes on. But our trees, our spiritual lives have come back a little bit stronger. We're a little bit better in the long run on the second go around after he sends that wildfire, after he sends that scorching wildfire. Now, if you turn with me to 2 Peter, we're going to take a look at a few of the rings. We're going to see how these rings are established in our lives, in our spiritual lives. 2 Peter will be chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, if you would. Now he starts off with a greeting. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That glory and virtue that he's calling us to, like I said, after our trees have been scorched, maybe the first time, whether it be because of our own choice or whether it be because of a curveball that life has thrown at us, starts to grow again, and it starts to come back a lot stronger. The heartwood is the main core, whereby are given, and we're verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Here's where our rings start to be formed. You see the rings start to form on our spiritual trees that are growing a second, whether it be a second time or the primary time, whichever. Add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. You see, as we go along here, we're forming the rings that make up our that strong, that backbone from the heartwood out, from Christ. The foundation that we have is our heartwood, we keep as our heartwood. The rings, as they go out, they're talking, and beside giving all diligence, add your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, which is love. I mean, if you look at not only this passage here, but if you look at 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, the Beatitudes, they establish rings that make our, that continue to make our, the heartwood strong, the heartwood, or the oak, whatever, our tree, as it grows a second time, or even the primary time, it grows and grows and grows. With all the diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling you, he's explaining here what happens. Well, I mean, obviously we know what happens when a tree bears fruit and when it doesn't bear fruit. I mean, what happens when we usually do, when it doesn't bear fruit, we usually end up tearing it out by the roots. I mean, cutting it down, planting another one. Then that may be the case in some people's lives. It may be the case, the necessary case, because of decisions made, that our trees need to be uprooted at one point or another in our life. It's a hard time. We go through hard times. We go through troubles. We go through trials and tribulations, whether it be because of present-day society or whether it be because of our own decisions. We are born with free will. We've been born with the opportunity of choice with free will since the garden and the beginning. Sad to say, we're born into sin, with a sin nature, before we become saved. And obviously, we are going to make poor choices, bad choices in our lifetime. But, like I said, Christ has a way of bringing us back, one way or another. I will always say that. He brings us back, whether we are hard-headed or not. And the more hard-headed we are, the more hard-headed we may become with life. The root system has a tendency to hold on to rocks and everything else. You know, anybody that's ever cut down a tree or cleared land and tried to get them stumps out, pull them stumps after the fact, after you cut the tree down, you can bear witness of how hard it is to get them roots, that root system, to pull that system out, because it's holding on to everything. We want to hold on to everything down in that, on this earth. We try, our roots have a tendency to try to, we have a tendency to drive our roots deep in the earth and in its materialistic things, and maybe whether might be grabbing for more wealth or more better 401k or a better car, a better house, a better whatever it may be, roots have a tendency to grab a hold and not let go when the stump comes out. It has to come out. Because it has to come out before it can start over again, before you can regrow a tree there. The roots have to come out. They cannot stay. And like you said here in verse 8, it says, "For if these things be in you," we're talking about the knowledge of temperance, we're talking about the rings that were formed, "for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 9 says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Right there in verses 8 and 9, it talks about two exact polar opposites. 8 talks about what we experience about and abound, what happens to our lives, to that tree, if our rings grow in knowledge, temperance of patience, godliness, and so on as the rings go out from the heartwood itself. It said, "Barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin." That old man, those roots that have to be uprooted from our past life, from our decisions that we've made in our past life, our sinful life, has to be uprooted and totally burned away. And that's where Christ, the refining fire, some you actually understand the refining fire, whether it be through gold, the refinement of gold, or, like I said, the forest fire in and of itself, it purifies, fire purifies. And that's what a lot of times he uses that to purify our lives and to get rid of the old man, to get rid of that old root system that we need to get rid of, to establish a new foundation, to establish a new heartwood that's founded on Christ and Christ alone as a cornerstone in our life. But as we look at these, a few of our own rings, that should strengthen our spiritual trees to withstand even the strongest winds of trials, struggles, temptations, etc., that this world and Satan can send our way. And obviously, we know how much problems we can have on any given day, whether it be a Monday when you're starting work, or you're ready to start work for the week, or whether it be starting a job you may not really care for too well, a job that you may not like to do, or something in the process of those in that direction. But those winds, those strong winds and those curveballs can come out of nowhere. It's just like earthquakes, the strong wind, tornadoes, hurricanes that the giant sequoias and those redwoods out west have seen and still have withstood, because the root system has been driven deep, way deep, and in cases like theirs. Now, if you'd follow me once more, we're going to move into Psalms. We're going to go to Psalms 92, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 15, if you would. Where Matthew and 2 Peter took us from seeds, whether it be the seeds of the sower, to the seed, the mustard seed, where Matthew and 2 Peter took us from these seeds to the mature trees through the process of cultivating each ring of spiritual growth, Psalms 92, 12, verses 12 through 15 shows us the results of nature and our spiritual forest. Going to look at 12 through 15 here. "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that he planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." This is what happens. I don't know who all has green thumbs around here. Some people may not have green thumbs when it comes to growing things. But Christ And it talks about it, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. The older, like I said, the studies that we have talked about in before, the new studies on trees, they accelerate as the age gets older. As they get older and grow bigger, age accelerates, growth accelerates. And their fruit and everything else that they produce accelerates as years get older. As young Christians, I'll use guys like example, maybe like Brady, these guys that I dealt with up there, I taught up there at Sheffield. They're young Christians. They're what we would define as saplings in our life, and they need all the water and nourishment and the help they can, the sunlight that they can to get to grow, and they haven't experienced their first scorched earth policy yet. Pray to God that the young Christians don't experience a scorched earth, that they don't have to, that they just continue to grow and grow each ring after ring after ring with accelerated growth as they grow mature in age and physical age as well as spiritual age. But like I said, it all comes down to the heartwood. The heartwood is Christ. And that's the only heartwood, that's the only foundation that we have, the truth of the foundation, what we have here. We look at here what it talks about, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. So it doesn't matter if we got a 20, 30-year-old, or if they're in their 90s, 100, I mean, folks are living into their 100s in today's day and age. There are still perfect. God still has a purpose for each and every one of us, no matter what. And the purposes may change down through the years. We may find the purposes may change down through the years. But it says they shall bring forth fruit in their old age. They shall be fat. I'm going to leave that. They shall be fat and flourishing. They're talking about trees. We're not talking, like I said, I discussed about the waistline before. It may decide to grow. That's a discussion for another time. But they shall be fat and flourishing with new buds, new growth, new fruit to help others around them. And that's where it comes down. This world is in desperate need of some spiritual farming or terraforming or however you, whatever adjective you'd like to give to it or whatever you'd like to apply to it. Our world is in desperate need of some spiritual farmers before God decides to send the forest fires or wildfires to scorch earth because of our disobedience. Israel experienced that scorched earth policy many times over and over again because of disobedience. I'm right there, right along with Israel, because I'm just as hard-headed as they would be, or as they have been in the past. But he scorched their earth plenty of times, whether it be where he used Egypt, Babylon, the Romans, the wandering in the wilderness. He scorched earth many times with Israel, and their trees, their lives had to grow from a seedling again, from a sapling all the way through the sapling into 3, 4, 5 foot until they reached Moses, Abraham. I'll use some examples. Moses, Abraham, David. They would be considered the redwoods, the mighty redwoods, the sequoias of the out west in their lives. And they understood because of the heartwood, because of Christ in their lives, keeping Christ at the center of their lives, which is where the heartwood is at, in these trees. That's the only way that they could experience, that's a way they could withstand the winds of this earth, the chaos from the earth, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, but yet roots driven deep in the right soil, using the right fertilizer. They understood where their sustenance came from, as did Israel after so many times. After they got burnt to so many times, I'm the same way. After you realize you beat your head against the wall so many times, you experience that scorched earth, that wildfire, and it's starting over from a seed. It gets kind of old when we start over so many times, as we have to start over again, because we keep getting whacked because of decisions we make. Israel was in the same position, but David, Moses, Abraham, they all went through the same position. their systems were driven deep, and it was focused, it was formed around the heartwood of Christ in their lives. And that's exactly where we need to be today, in today's day and age, and well, especially in today's day and age, because a lot of folks out there, you see their roots are sitting on shallow ground, whether it be like the pine tree, and the strong rain comes through, wind comes through, and all of a sudden it uproots them, and they lose everything, whatever it may be, family, friends, hope, and others fall on ground where the birds, where Satan has the tendency to devour the seed, and puts a halt to that growth. And we need to get on. We need to find these trees. We need to be spiritual farmers. We need to be spiritual farmers in today's day and age, especially in today's day and age with today's the social media and everything else. Because there is a massive gap or lack in those that have passed before. I mean, the song "Who's Going to Fill Their Shoes?" I hear it many of time. Who's going to fill their shoes? Whether you think about Billy Graham, whether you think about whoever it may be that's passed in past years, who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to stand that tall? Who is going to fertilize the ground? Who's going to water the trees, these saplings that just started? And that's why, like I said, I appreciate, I thank God for where I'm at today, continually, daily, day in, day out, because I should not be here. I do not shy from that thought, that idea, because I really shouldn't. I know for a fact for many times there I should not be here. But I'm grateful for the platform that he's given me, my past that he's given me, that he's run me through, that wildfire that he sent to scorch my earth, and my trees to the ground, only to be rebuilt again, hopefully and prayerfully stronger this time around, in search of his purpose and his meaning and his wisdom and direction in my life, and to help guys like that, like I did up in Sheffield, and guy possibly anywhere else for that matter. And it's just an ongoing process, learning process. Like I said, we build those rings, ring for ring for ring, year for year for year, and we drive them roots deep. But always remember, keep Christ as our heartwood. That's the core meaning, if you would. Keep him as our heartwood in our life, in that tree, in our trees, our spiritual forest life. We can't go wrong. Yeah, that's all. That's all I have. Any questions or any comments or any of the above? Okay. I guess join me in prayer if you would, then, please. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, I thank you for this day that you've given. I thank you for the strength. I thank you for the health to put my feet on the ground, get out of bed this morning to make it through this day, and thank you for the beautiful weather we've had today. The message we heard this morning as well from Eric, and I thank you for the lesson you've given me tonight. I pray as we look at our lives, look at other folks' lives, that you'd help us to be the spiritual farmers of this land, spiritual farmers of the world itself, over whether it be in our backyards, outside these doors, or across the pond, across the waters, in a foreign land, no matter where it may be, to be spiritual farmers to help these trees grow into the massive sequoias, the massive redwoods like they have out west. Ring for ring, all the added beatitudes as far as love, forgiveness, charity, humbleness, integrity, compassion, and the list goes on. Ring for ring for ring. I thank you for that. I pray you'd that we would also keep you as the heartwood. Form these trees, form these growths, these new growths around the heartwood, around you as a foundation, and we drive them